Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, reminding you all that you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at Current Sports. Oh, excuse me, I'm getting it mixed up now. Facebook.com/Current Sports, excuse me, or even email at AlMartin@WKAR.org. You think I've done it 1,000 times, I would know what I'm talking about, right? But also, you can give us a call right here at the station, 517-355-9527. Let us know what's on your mind and how have you been enjoying the show so far. I encourage all of the dedicated listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and post some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, email me, or give us a call. We would love to hear what's on your mind. And man, oh man, did we have a good time at yesterday's first live taping of Current Sports TV. I want to personally thank everyone that showed up yesterday. You all packed out the house as we invited Gregory Special K Kelser. Yes, Special K was our very first guest. It was definitely a fun time. Again, you can catch that premiere episode on September 12th on WKAR-TV at 10 p.m. You do not want to miss it. It was certainly a fun time. Again, thank you, everyone. We had an outstanding crowd there. You guys were great and really, really appreciate because without you guys, I mean, you guys made the show yesterday. And definitely a lot of thanks goes out to all of you. So, again, that's September 12th, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV, 10 p.m. You don't want to miss that. All right, well, it's Friday, so we always take you to the links at the end of the week with Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner. This week, we invite Max to join us live via phone. That's right, his very first live segment. Max, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem, Al.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. That's a little different over the phone, but I'm doing okay.
It's very different, right? It's live. You know, it's right there at the moment. You know, you got to bring your A game, right? No pressure, Max. Now, on this episode, we want to kind of piggyback how we ended last week with our golf tip segment, and that was, you know, kind of explain some interesting rules to the game of golf. We know golf is a gentleman's game, and there are so many just little rules that a lot of people don't know about. And, Max, I know you're going to bring that to the table today and talk about some of those interesting and weird rules.
Yeah, you know, when you go on a golf course and you look at all the different aspects of it, you look at the water and the boundaries of the course, you may notice certain boundary colors. You might notice stakes, whether they be red stakes or white stakes or yellow stakes. And for a beginner golfer, you may not know what these mean. And I'm just going to go over just what they mean, essentially.
Right.
So, first of all, if you see a white stake or a white boundary line, that represents out of bounds. You don't want to go out of bounds on a golf course.
Right.
So when you see a white stake and you hit it out, or a white line and you hit it out of the boundary, unfortunately, it's a penalty. So you're going to end up having to take a penalty stroke. And the rule with the white stake when you go out of bounds is you're going to have to take a penalty stroke and you're going to have to hit it exactly where you just played your last shot from. So that's the white stake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha. So you lose a stroke and you have to play it from where you just took that shot, right?
Exactly. You have no other option other than that.
Gotcha.
So from there, you'll have water hazards that have either sort of a red stake kind of marking the hazard itself, or you'll see a yellow stake or a yellow line. So the difference is you have three options if you go into a water hazard. You have the ability to play it out of the water hazard. This I may not recommend, depending on, you know, if you're actually going to go into the water. It's not exactly the smartest shot, but you do have the option to do that. Mm-hmm. Another option is similar to the white stake rule. You can play the shot from the previous point where you just hit, and you will have to take a one-stroke penalty, or you can decide to drop a ball. Now, okay. I'm sure you've seen people on the golf course drop balls, you know, but
right.
This is you go into a water hazard and you decide to drop, okay?
Okay.
So, for a red stake, a red stake, you have the option of taking two club lengths, meaning you can take your driver out any club length that you choose, no closer to the hole of the golf hole. And then you assess your one-stroke penalty and hit from that location. You would take that. You would take those two strokes or those two club lengths from the point in which the ball entered the water hazard. So that's for the red stake. That's called lateral water hazard, okay?
Lateral water hazard.
Lateral water hazard, yeah.
Gotcha.
So when there's a yellow stake, you can also drop, but there's a slight difference in the rules. So the yellow stake, it's defined as a, it's just defined as a water hazard. So the rule is you water hazard. So let's just paint a picture for you. If there's a hole and all of the left side of the hole is a water hazard and you hit your tee shot.
Right.
I think we have a hole like this at Timber Ridge, but you hit your tee shot and it goes straight into the water and you have to figure out where you need to drop a ball. So depending on whether the ball curved into the water hazard, you have to find that point, that exact point where it entered the water. And from there, take that point where the ball entered and you draw an imaginary straight line between that point and the golf hole. And you can go as far back on that line, meaning whether you want to go 2 yards or 200 yards, as long as it's on that line between where you're across the water hazard and the golf hole, you can drop the ball anywhere on that line and assess yourself the same one-stroke penalty.
Right. Gotcha. So, and that's got to be hard to do. I mean, you're talking about drawing an imaginary line from when the ball enters the water. I mean, when it comes to the PGA Tour, I mean, that's just kind of like a guessing game, right? I mean, that's got to be very, very hard to determine.
Right. And unless you're with you, it's, like you said, very hard to determine where the ball crossed the hazard. So that's why you really depend on your playing partners to help you out a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That makes sense. Is Max still? Okay, go ahead.
That's the yellow water stake. So.
Gotcha. Okay, man, I tell you, the game of golf, I mean, we could go on and on. Now, Max, to get your player's card, you had to take a test, right? Talk about that test. Talk about how you go about getting your player's card, and talk about that test. And I believe it was open book, right?
Oh, did you want to know the actual the rules test?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the rules test, so there's two parts to receiving your PGA card or getting into the PGA program. You have to take a written test and a playing test. And the written test, they just go over, probably I had 75 to 100 scenarios where they describe the situation and they ask you if any sort of rule situation was breached. And, of course, it's an open book test because there are a lot of rules in golf, as you know.
Right.
And it can get pretty tricky in terms of what they're asking and what the situation is.
So how'd you do on that? I'm assuming very well because you got your players card.
Yeah, I passed it. And colors, whether they be red stake, white stake, or yellow stake.
Right. That's very, very intricate stuff right there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, of course, it's Friday, so we invite Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner. He's making his first live debut via phone, and we're talking about some of the most interesting rules in the game of golf. Now, kind of shifting things, Max, I want to ask you about your take on this season's PGA Tour. Who impressed you? Who let you down? What was your overall assessment so far?
Oh, wow. Well, going off the latest championship, the PGA championship, I was very excited to see Jason Duffner win. You know, it was too bad for Jim Furyk, who hung in there towards the last round. But going back 2 years, Jason Duffner had a chance to win, I believe it was the PGA championship, and he folded, and some might say he choked, but I was glad to see him get the championship, and I don't know if you noticed all the Duffnering going around town.
Oh, yes.
You,
Oh yeah, we definitely talked about that on this show.
Okay.
A guy just wins the PGA Championship and he acts like he's just going, you know, just another day walking the park, you know, no excitement at all. But that's how Jason Duffner is, though, right?
Yeah, different golfers definitely carry themselves differently on the golf course, and it's just cool to see a guy like Jason, you know, who you couldn't possibly tell whether he's ecstatic about a golf shot or demoralized. You know, it's cool to see a guy like that win. So
it definitely is, and I tell you what, Duffnering is definitely become a part of the vocabulary here at Current Sports with the Current Sports team. Hilarious stuff right there. Now, if you look at Tiger Woods, Max, and look at how he hasn't won a major in 5 years now. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, had Tiger as the favorite coming to this PGA Championship. I mean, he had just dominated the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, which he does so many times. I mean, he dominates that course. I think he built that course, if you ask me. But and if you look at this his performance at the PGA Championship, I mean, it was lackluster, to say the least. And he continues that major drought season. I mean, what are your thoughts on Tiger? What's his problem? And do you think he'll ever pass Jack?
You know, I think, as I, you know, I am a golf teacher, so the problem I see is not in his golf swing. I mean, he has probably the best golf swing I've seen in quite some time, and I think the problem just occurs between his two ears. You know, it's definitely a mental thing, because he's won already, what, four or five times this year in non-major competition, and, you know, he just can't carry that over into a major competition. And it's just, from my perspective, I just see it's a completely different attitude that he has in a major competition, whether it be taking everything too seriously. He used to go out into a major competition, you know, back in the early 2000s. He almost had you might even call it a swag to him. He carried himself with such confidence. And you can start to see it now with the non-major competitions that he's winning.
Right.
He just needs to figure out how to transfer that into major competition. And I don't think by getting too technical, you know, you see him rehearsing his swing every time he hits a bad shot. You know, he needs to go back to basics, Al, and just think positively and figure out his mental game. It's not his golf swing. I don't think it's his golf swing, and for him to over concentrate on that, I think is just setting him back even further. But to answer your question, I do think he can pass Jack's record. Mm-hmm. He's got to get one. If he gets one under his belt, I think you'll see possibly two in 1 year from him.
So you talk about this mental challenge, if you will, about Tiger, and it seems as though, I mean, because right now he's ranked the number one golfer in the world. He's won more tournaments this season than any other golfer. When it comes to majors, though, do you think it's kind of a psyche thing? I mean, when you talk about a major, that when he goes into approaching a major, it's like, oh, man, I haven't won in 5 years. Does that thought that he hasn't won in 5 years, do you think that's psyching him out when he thinks about that?
Oh, definitely. You can't help but think about that when you're quoted as being the best golfer in the world and possibly the best golfer of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, that carries weight, and you carry that into every major tournament, and to have that even in the back of your mind it's hard. It's no doubt hard for him. It's something he's going to have to overcome. But like I said, he just needs one. How old is he? He's in his late 30s.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got plenty of golf. Jack Nicklaus won a major, I believe, when he was 45 or 46. So, you know, that's, what, 8 or so years of golf that he has. You know, 32 majors, you're telling me. I think he can get, you know, 4 or so majors in that time period. He's Tiger Woods. He just needs to start acting like it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think he will pass Jack. Now, you know, this is a question that I've asked Terry Kilday, who's the manager over at Eagle Eye, and we also talked to Casey Lubon about this, who is the head men's golf coach here at Michigan State. And I want to ask you this, Max. When you talk about the belly putter, now the PGA has ruled that in the future they are not going to allow anyone to use the belly putter anymore. And for those out there listening who don't know what that is, that's anchoring your putt. That's the extension that you have on your putter and using your body to kind of aid the ball while putting. Now, what do you think about this rule, and is the PGA making the right move in ruling this?
Well, I think I used to use a belly putter myself.
Did you?
I switched back to a normal putter. Now, if you look at the statistics, I can't pull them off my head right now, but belly putters and anchoring the putter have been around since, oh gosh, I think the early 1980s, and they haven't brought up this sort of situation until recently. Until, you know, people have been winning on the PGA Tour. I think Adam Scott and Keegan Bradley, guys who anchor their putters, they're only now starting to make a big deal out of it. I think PGA Tour is concerned, it's okay. A lot of the tour players are going to have to adjust or decide when they want to switch back, because I believe when do they have to switch back? 2016.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. And amateur golfers, it's not going to affect the amateur golfer nearly as much, because they're still going to make belly putters. They're still going to have club makers that will fit you for an anchored putter. So, but it's just, everyone wants to play under the same conditions as the pros do. That's kind of what makes it feel special for the amateur golfer, is that they're playing under the same conditions that the pros are playing in.
Right.
And overall, I think it may hurt the amateur game, just because of that fact. A lot of amateur golfers do enjoy the anchored putter, whether it be a belly putter or, you know, a taller anchored putter.
Do you think that gives you an advantage playing, Max, using that belly putter? I mean, you've used it and you switched back. What kind of advantage? Because, I mean, it seems as though when you read the reports about this, that it gives the golfer a quote-unquote advantage while playing. Can you echo that, or do you not agree with that?
Well, to a certain extent, you have to be a type of player that can utilize. I don't think it helps everyone. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think the average person who picks up a regular putter and then picks up a belly putter will say it's easier to control a regular putter. In terms of the feeling you get in your hands, I mean, a lot of the technique in putting is in your hands. I mean, if you tend to be a handy player and of using a normal putter, then you're going to be a better putter using a normal putter. I mean,
right.
But if you like the idea of having something anchored so that you know that it's just going to be sort of a straight back, straight through sort of pendulum stroke every time, you're going to have the same stroke every time, the difference is you may sacrifice feel.
Right.
When I was playing putter, I found it was distances. Since I had something sort of jabbed into my belly, hard for me to feel in my hands how big of a stroke I was taking, how far I needed to hit a putt.
Right.
Since it was more difficult with a belly putter for me, and that's why I switched back, because it was tough for the longer putts.
Right. Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us to Current Sports, it's Friday, so of course we invite Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner to join us. He's joining us live today via phone. Now, before I let you go, Max, really quickly, of course you're a golf pro. You're over there at Timber Ridge helping people's games out and fixing someone's game. Just talk about, because I know we talked about last week about how you go about fixing someone's game, and you actually take a picture of their stroke and show it to them, and they go back out there. I mean, talk about that process and the success rate that you've had with amateur golfers.
Well, yeah, every time I give a golf lesson, I use video swing analysis, which is just me essentially taking a video recording of their golf swing, you know, multiple angles. And these days, you know, a lot of people shun technology and say, you know, It's taken away from the tradition of the game. I really feel it's a great visual interpretation to help the student really gain an idea of having that second perspective. It's almost like having a coach with you, because what I do is I record my analysis over the video, and I email it to my students so that they can have my analysis with them, you know, whether it be on their smartphone or their laptop. They can always refer back to my analysis of what's going on in their golf swing. And during the lesson, I should say, they see the actual recording. And from there, I kind of go over what they need to feel. So we're going from a visual understanding to sort of a physical understanding of what may be going wrong in their golf swing and how we need to correct it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I think it's really cool stuff. Again, they can come out to Timber Ridge how do they go about working with you, Max? Just go out to Timber Ridge, ask for you, and then boom,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. If you come into the pro shop or you call the golf course and just ask for Max for a golf lesson, that's square one right there. How you get set up with me?
There you go. Well, there you have it, Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner. Hey, thanks again, Max, for joining me.
Thanks so much, Al.
Appreciate it. All right, well, when we return to current sports, we'll dive into our current sports section of the show. We'll let you know we'll be taking calls right after the break. Don't hesitate, pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We want to hear what's on your mind. More current sports is coming right at you.
Ago this week, the lights went out for millions in the U.S. and Canada. I'm Flora Lichtman. Join me on Science Friday for a look at what we learned from the 2003 blackout. Plus, SpaceX founder Elon Musk unveiled his Hyperloop transit system. Imagine commuting at 700 miles per hour. Sci-fi or the future of transportation? That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest sporting news concerning you, the good people of Mid-Michigan. We just finished talking with golf pro Max Rebner, trying to improve your game as you go out this weekend and try to conquer the links. I know I will be out there tomorrow. I know Aaron is going to go out with our producer of Current State tomorrow. Just get it in, because the summer is surely flying by, and pretty soon we're going to start seeing snow. Yes, snow on the ground. So definitely enjoy this summer. Man, it's just really flown by. All right, well, let's get into our current sports section of the show, the Tigers and the Royals. Now, Prince Fielder, man, I haven't said this in a while. Prince Fielder and a home run in the same sentence. Oh, my goodness. Prince Fielder's two-run shot in the first inning Thursday night sent the Tigers to a 4-1 victory over the Kansas City Royals. Now, Andy Dirks added four hits for Detroit, which leads second-place Cleveland by 6.5 games in the division. And Fielder went deep for the first time, the very first time since July of I can't believe it. July 24th. Are you serious? I had to read that again. July 24th. First time since July 24th, Prince Fielder has gone deep. And, you know, an interesting aspect to this slump from Prince Fielder. Now, a friend of the show, Rico Beard, who we had a few months on Current Sports, he now is, congrats to Rico, too. He has a new sports show, sports radio show on 105.1. Entitled Ryan Enrico. Ryan, I believe, is a sports reporter for Fox 2 News in Detroit. But during the premiere week of that show, Rico Beard had Torrey Hunter on the show, and Torrey hinted towards Prince Fielder possibly having some off-the-field issues. And it's just being released, and I was actually listening to Rico yesterday, and it's being reported that Prince Fielder, ladies and gentlemen, is actually going through a divorce. That's being reported right now, so that's definitely can contribute to this slump that he's having. But it's good to see him get a home run. But yeah, Prince Fielder is going through some through a divorce right now. That since January, this has been going on. It's being said. And, you know, it's really, really, I guess, taking a toll on Prince. So Torrey Hunter kind of hinted towards it, and it's being reported that he is going through some off the field issues. So but anyway, it was good to see him get that two-run shot, that homer, you know, shaking off that slump, that drought, that home run drought, and to finally send one into the seats. Now, the Royals, they have lost three in a row after a 17-3 stretch that put them in contention for a postseason spot. Kansas City now trails Detroit by 8.5 games in the division. The Royals are 5.5 behind Oakland in the race for a wild card. Now, Detroit's Anibal Sanchez allowed a run and 7 hits in 7 1/3 innings. Bruce Rondon, he finished in the 8th. And Joaquin Benoit, he pitched a hitless 9th for his 16th save in 16 chances. Now, a concession stand, this is an interesting aspect to this this game yesterday that not a lot of people know about. A concession stand was closed after a small grease fire about 3 hours before the first pitch sent smoke high into the air behind the scoreboard in left field. The situation was under control quickly, and hardly anyone on the field at the time seemed to notice. No one got hurt, but that's very random, to say the least. Detroit and Kansas City, now they'll play a doubleheader that actually kicked off at the top of the hour when Current Sports started at 1 p.m. today. Now, we have a score update for you. Right now, it is the top of the second, and it is scoreless, 0-0. Detroit and Kansas City going at it in this this doubleheader. Now, the Tigers, they have Justin Verlander. That's right. JV is on the mound in the opener against the Royals. Left-handed pitcher Danny Duffy. So that's going on right now as we speak. And later on in the nightcap of the doubleheader, Detroit's left-handed pitcher Jose Alvarez will face Kansas City right-handed pitcher James Shields. So right now, Tigers are playing the Kansas City Royals in the first game of that doubleheader. It is nothing to nothing in the top of the second. All right, the Lions. The Lions, they faced off against the Cleveland Browns in the second preseason game yesterday. The Browns won 24-6, and I think I chose the Lions in our pick of Mondays. Come on, Al. You got to get it together, man. All right, the Lions, their starting offense struggled to move the ball in the first half, going 3-and-out on their first 3 drives, failing to reach the red zone on 5 possessions. Jim Schwartz, he was not a happy man after this one.
We played poorly in all 3 phases. Played poorly on offense, dropped balls, didn't execute, didn't move the ball, didn't have any explosive plays, didn't score any touchdowns. Defensively, we made some critical errors. We didn't tackle very well. We had some key penalties. And then special teams, you know, we got lucky. We allowed a kick for a touchdown. They got called back for a holding penalty. But we punted the ball poorly. We didn't kick the ball especially well. We were poor in all 3 phases.
Yeah, they really struggled yesterday. But hey, Kickalicious, he is simply just impressing. I know Matt will. Matt is a huge fan of Kickalicious, and I think Kickalicious, he had a kick 33-yard. I think he's perfect right now as far as the preseason is concerned. I really hope to like. Please, I should start a please keep Kickalicious campaign because that kid is something else. But anyway, quarterback Matthew Stafford, he played all but the final snap of the first half. He finished with 11 for 16 for 74 yards. Here he is after the game.
I mean, we didn't take too many shots downfield. Yeah, so, you know, that was, you know, we didn't stay on the field long enough to get a chance to. You know, we hurt ourselves on third down, hurt ourselves really first, second down as well. You know, not a bunch of positive plays on first and second down. Had penalties that we can't, you know, can't let come back. You know, I think today was a, you know, a function of a few things. You know, we had some physical errors. We had some mental errors. You know, some mental errors that we shouldn't have had, and honestly haven't had, you know, all camp and really through the first game as well. So those were, you know, something we got to fix and something we got to get back to, just playing assignment sound and playing fast. Offense, defense, special teams, we didn't play well in any of them. And, you know, we had penalties that hurt us. And like I said, you know, mental and physical errors, we had, you know, anytime you have – personal foul penalties. That's a mental thing that you got to do a better job of controlling yourself, controlling your emotions, and it was a game we didn't play well in any of the phases. You know, the biggest thing for us is just staying on the field. Didn't stay on the field and didn't have many explosives. Those lead to points in this league, and obviously Calvin was out tonight, but that's no excuse. We can't use it as an excuse, can't use it as a crutch. We got to, have the other guys step up and make plays.
So, yeah, that was after the Lions lost to the Browns. 24-6 was the final of that game. You just heard from QB Matthew Stafford, who was 11 for 16 for 74 yards. No touchdowns. Really not happy. The Lions really not happy with yesterday's performance. But, hey, people out there, I know in the preseason, you get a lot of people who may look at a game like this last night. A lot of Lions fans out there who may say, oh, here we go again. The Lions are, screwing up again. I mean, this is the preseason, guys. This is game two of the preseason. Don't harp on the Lions. I mean, it's too early. It's too early right now. I barely even watched the game last night. In fact, after the current sports taping, I didn't even watch the game. I went to sleep. I mean, this is the preseason. No one really watches. All right. Now, wide receiver Calvin Johnson was sidelined with a right knee contusion and did not play. Again, you heard from Schwartz, you heard from Stafford. All right, let's move on. Chauncey and Wendy's. Yes, Pistons guard. Chauncey Billups seems to already be planning for life after basketball. Life in the burger world. Burgers, folks. Wendy's. They announced that Billups, along with former NBA player and restaurant entrepreneur Junior Bridgman, they have agreed to purchase 30 Wendy's franchises in the St. Louis area. Now, Bridgman, who played 12 seasons in the NBA with the Bucks and Clippers, is very experienced in the restaurant business, owning 196 Wendy's, 100-plus Chili's, and several dozen Fazoli units. Can you believe that, man? So Billups, on the other hand, he will just be getting his feet wet with no prior restaurant experience. And this is from Wendy's president and CEO Emil Brolik. He says, quote, "We have enjoyed a long-standing relationship with Junior Bridgman, and he is an exceptional person, an excellent operator, and very committed to building a people culture. In addition, we are eager to welcome Chauncey to the Wendy's family." Now, there's no word yet on whether a Billups buzzer beater will result in free Frosties for everyone, but hey, everyone can dream, right? So interesting stuff there. So Chauncey Billups is now agreed to purchase 30 Wendy's franchises. I went to Wendy's yesterday. I need to cut out the fast food, but Wendy's is great. All right, A-Rod. Members of the New York Yankees third baseman, Alex Rodriguez's inner circle, it's being reported that they leaked the names of Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Ryan Braun and his own teammate Francisco Cervelli to the media in the whole Biogenesis scandal. That's according to a report by 60 Minutes. Now, the leak came days after the Miami New Times published a redacted document from Biogenesis founder Anthony Bosch that revealed comprehension doping regimens for professional athletes, including A-Rod. Now, members of A-Rod's camp obtained unredacted versions of the documents that contain Braun and Cervelli's names on them, and they sent them to Yahoo Sports. Now, this is according to two sources with direct knowledge of the matter. Yahoo first reported Braun and Cervelli's involvement with the whole Biogenesis scandal. Now, the statement has been released Friday morning by Rodriguez's lead attorney, David Cornwell, who says, quote, "These allegations are untrue and are another attempt to harm Alex, this time by driving a wedge between him and other players in the league. While Alex focuses on baseball and repeatedly states that he is going to respect the appeal process, the drumbeat of false allegations continues. These improper and viciously false leaks will not alter the fact that MLB exceeded its authority under the JDA, which is the Joint Drug Agreement." So, I mean, this A-Rod, this I'm tired of talking about A-Rod. I tell you, it's something every other day about the man. But it's being released again. It's being released that his camp is the camp that sent those names to Yahoo Sports and broke the news about Braun and Cervelli. All right, the MLB on Thursday, Major League Baseball took a giant step toward expanding instant replay. It's about time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the proposal that would dramatically increase the number of plays that can be reviewed, currently limited to boundary calls involving home runs. A committee including managers Joe Torre and Tony La Russa, they presented the findings. Now, the review will be initiated when a manager informs the umpire that he wants to challenge a play. Now, this is how it breaks down, ladies and gents. He will be allowed one challenge in the first six innings and two more from the seventh through the end of the game. So, again, this is the new replay format that they're trying to implement. It hasn't been fully gone through yet. It's not official yet, but this is how it will go if it is approved. There will be one challenge the first six innings and two more from the seventh through the end of the game. Now, if the manager wins his appeal, he retains the challenge. The challenge from the first six innings does not carry over. Now, if a manager disagrees with a reviewable call, his only recourse would be to use a challenge. Managers would not be able to argue a reviewable call in a bid to get it overturned with the use of replay. A manager could still argue in situations not open to review, such as when defending a player or questioning an improper substitution. I really hope this gets approved because, I mean, it's long overdue for the game of baseball. They're finally adhering to the times and adhering to the technology. Hey, if you have the technology to get a call right, why not use it? I really loved it. I think, and Commissioner Buzz Seeley, he said, quote, "I couldn't help but sense in the room the acceptance and excitement. People understood they were sitting in on something that was historic," end quote. So I'm really happy that this is finally looking like it's going to go through and be accepted in the game of baseball, that, you know, you can challenge a play, because I've seen so many times. I mean, all of us have seen so many times where just looking back at the tape could have changed so many outcomes in so many games and possibly many, many World Series. So historic day for baseball, and I really hope it becomes official. All right. Well, should the NCAA allow college football players such as Johnny Manziel to get paid? Well, Minnesota Vikings star running back Adrian Peterson, he surely thinks so. Peterson told FoxSports.com yesterday that Manziel and other players should be allowed to make money off of their own name. Peterson said, "I think so. The universities are making a lot of money off of student athletes in general, so yeah, he should be able to make money. I think so. They make millions off these college athletes, and they made millions off of the guys I played with as well. Yes, he should be getting paid." Now, Texas A&M University Chancellor John Sharp also said he believes college athletes should be allowed to earn money. He says, "I also think that there's something. You know, this is just me talking, not as chancellor of the system. Something is wrong with the system when we can make money off of our football players. The NCAA make money off of our college football players, and they can't be treated like Olympic athletes." That was during an interview with NBC5's Chris Van Horn yesterday as well. And you know what? During yesterday's taping of Current Sports TV, when I sat down with Greg Kelser, we actually used that as one of our prime questions during that episode. And you know what? Greg told me that he also thinks that Johnny Football is doing, or if he is found to do this and get paid for signing autographs, Greg feels as though Johnny Football did nothing wrong. Now, you have to tune in on September 12th at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV to hear his explanation. It is a very, very interesting one and good one, I think. All right. Well, always looking for new ways to loosen up and motivate his team, Tampa Bay Rays manager Joe Maddon may have outdone himself with this one. If I was in this locker room, I don't know if I could do it, guys. In an apparent attempt to honor the Chinese Year of the Snake, the Rays invited a 20-foot python. Yes, a 20-foot python into their clubhouse. Now, players posed for pictures with the massive snake named Asia and posted them onto their Twitter feeds. And it's nothing new for the Rays, who have had many visitors over the years and Maddon's many attempts to keep the team in a good mood. Now, just this year, the Rays have had a magician, they've had a merengue band, and a DJ perform in the clubhouse. I wonder how that went. A merengue band and a magician. That's pretty cool stuff. Maddon has also arranged visits from a cockatoo and a pair of pigeons. Oh, man, anything to keep the atmosphere light. But he is, right now, the team, the Rays, are currently trailing the Red Sox by just two games in the AL East lead. I guess Maddon's visitors are clearly doing something right. So, yes, a 20-foot python in their clubhouse. I would have been the first one out of that clubhouse, people, I tell you. All right, and this is a really, really touching story and really unbelievable one. You gotta, if you're sitting at home right now and you have your laptop handy, you gotta go on YouTube and YouTube Zach Hodgkins. Zach Hodgkins, that's Hodgkins. You gotta see this kid. He is unbelievable. Now, one might think it might be near impossible to play basketball with one arm. But one player is doing just that and more. Now, Zach Hodgkins, he's a high school guard from Georgia. He was born without the lower half of his left arm because of a birth defect. But this has not deterred him from pursuing basketball at the highest level. And one Division I college has taken notice. Now, he was offered a spot by Florida coach Billy Donovan as a preferred walk-on. Now, Yahoo's Prep Rally reported this yesterday. The Florida offer doesn't include a scholarship, but it does offer the chance to earn one down the line. And I tell you what, I didn't know about this kid until today when I saw it in the paper. And if you YouTube this kid, he plays better than some Division I players right now in college basketball. I mean, he can shoot, he can pass, his court vision is uncanny. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Again, YouTube Zach Hodgkins, he is a true testament that shows that there are no limits in life, no matter what you're born with, what you're born without. I mean, if you YouTube him, he is unbelievable. I mean, the kid can shoot. He can pass. I mean, you should see the reports on this kid. He is unbelievable. And he says, quote, when I'm out on the court, I forget my arm isn't there and just play ball. Passion and love for the sport helps me overcome all obstacles. To this day, I haven't come across anything I can't do. Now, if that story doesn't warm your heart, I don't know what will. Zach Hodgkins, I really hope he gets that walk-on offer from Billy Donovan. I hope he walks on the team at Florida, and I really hope he gets that scholarship. I would love to see. I'm definitely rooting for this kid's success. He is unbelievable. All right, ladies and gents, well, we have to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527. Hit me up on Facebook.com/Current Sports or even tweet me a question. Al Martin, WKAR. We want to hear from you. Stick around. More Current Sports is next. Reflection Friday, baby.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First things out the way, thank you for coming. Those of you who were curious and those who were maybe escorted here.
That's Bobby Cannavale as gangster Jip Rossetti on HBO's Boardwalk Empire. Season 3 is coming out on DVD. Cannavale is also co-starring in Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine. An interview with Cannavale on the next Fresh Air.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll be taking your calls right now to discuss anything that's on your noggin. 517-355-9527. Give us a buzz. And ladies and gents, it's Friday, so you know what that means. Yes, Reflection Friday. The week certainly flies by when you're having fun. We've certainly been having a lot of fun on the show. Again, yesterday we taped our very first premiere episode of Current Sports TV with Special K. Greg Kelser joined me and a live audience. Right now, I'm joined by production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky and intern Mike Corey. Matt and Alex, you guys were there. How'd you guys enjoy that yesterday? It was great, wasn't it?
It was. It was really awesome.
It was fun.
Greg was a great guest. Crowd was into it. It was thumbs up all around.
I really enjoyed myself, and the crowd was amazing. The crowd, like I said, the crowd was just so. I mean, they applauded when they were supposed to applaud. I mean, they had energy. It was great. A great time. And again, you talk about a classy guy in Greg Kelser. He is certainly the epitome of a class act. Again, you want to catch that episode at September 12th, the premiere episode of Current Sports TV, September 12th, 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. You got to check it out. All right, so it is Reflection Fridays, gentlemen. So we had a long week, I tell you. TGIF for me. I'm so tired, guys. I am drained. I'm sure you guys are, too. It's a lot happening this week, a lot of sports stories this week. What are some of your favorite memories? I know a memory that I definitely want to bring up. We'll talk about that later. Matt, what was your favorite memory of the week?
Well, I don't think mine is what you're thinking of. I think that's one I'd like to forget forever. We had a great week. Aside from the current sports TV premiere, you know, Greg Kelsey getting to ask him a question, getting to shake his hand.
You know, unbelievable, right? Yeah, you had a great question for him, Matt. You talked about who was your, and this is another tease. Matt asked Greg, who is his favorite teammate between George Blaha and Magic, right?
Oh yeah, you got to put him on the spot.
He put him on the spot. It was a great question, and you got to tune in September 12th to hear the answer. So it was two great questions, I believe, too. Yeah, what was the second one you had?
Just preparation. How do you prepare for a game versus how do you prepare for covering one? And he had great answers for both.
Great answers for both.
Guys, he's a pro for sure.
He is.
But aside from that, I really enjoyed the phone interview with Amy Neff, the new assistant women's MSU golf coach. She was great. She had personable answers. She seemed like she was born to be a coach, and I'm glad she's getting her dues.
Definitely. She's a great person, and she knows the game of golf like the back of her hand. I'm really excited because now if you talk about MSU women's golf team, they're losing Caroline Powers, who is the greatest golfer in Michigan State golf history, and they're now losing her. And that's a big hit, but they have some prospects coming up, including Jacqueline Sedis, who I had the pleasure of covering when I was at WLNS TV6. She's really, really an up and coming star in the world of golf right now. And I believe she's actually playing for the amateur tour right now, which is going on right now, I believe. And we'll have an update next week on that. But the recruiting class looks really, really nice for them next year, and I'm sure Amy was going to do a great job. So looking forward to that. So what about you, Alex?
Yeah, it has to be, of course, our golf game, especially today, because it's the end of summer.
It is
leading into fall. It's the time of the year where we're hitting a lot of balls into the water. And you know what? It's funny.
My game is polished now, Alex.
Sure.
No more water balls for me. All right.
I might have to be the water boy then for myself.
We'll go out tomorrow and we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, the cool thing about Max today is I didn't know about that invisible line rule. When it goes, into the water, we have to draw that invisible line. Tough to do, man.
And
especially how he got his PGA card, too. You don't really meet many people, and even golf pros, that have their own PGA card. So, and then, of course, the sports researchers we had in this week were great as well.
They were. And you talk about that, too. And I'm sitting there. I mean, if you're just not joining us to Current Sports, we had Max Rebner, golf pro, over at Timber Ridge Golf Course, to kind of give some interesting rules to the game of golf. And like you said, when the ball goes in the water and you have to draw an imaginary line from when the ball entered the water, I mean, that's hard to do. I think that's impossible to do without the help of technology, if you to be honest with you. And I don't know how – it's so many – and golf has so many components to it. I mean, you should see the PGA Tour – what is it, the rule book he showed us, I believe? I think that was me and Aaron. We were out there, right? I think Aaron saw it. And the thing is so thick, and it has to be an open book test or everybody and their mama would fail the thing, all right? It's crazy. So hats off to Max, though. He is great, and you got to see Max play. He can pull off any shot, and he is an unbelievable, unbelievable teacher of the game. He's definitely improved my game in some respects, in some little aspects, if you will. I'm nowhere close to his level, but, man, those tips definitely help. Say that. So, all right, Mike, what about you, man?
Well, besides the greatest live singing performance since Beyonce at the Super Bowl that occurred here, I've been really enthralled by this whole biogenesis thing. And the thing that just came out today about how A-Rod apparently snitched on Ryan Braun and his own teammate.
Yeah, his own teammate.
And I can't stop following this. It's a train wreck that I am just thoroughly enjoying.
You're enjoying this?
Yes.
You sick man. You're just enjoying this craziness.
Because, just watching the downfall of A-Rod is, I can't help but smile.
Really?
Yes.
So you must be a Yankee hater then, huh?
No, I don't really hate the Yankees all that much. I just do not like A-Rod. You look at his face, and I you can't help but get, like, just anger.
Anger just
showers over you.
Well, I tell you what. looking at A-Rod,
because he deserves it.
He's dead. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who used steroids. Let's just call. I'm calling it like it is. I think he used steroids. Yeah. And you know, there's been countless reports of him. You know, we played the bites on the show. I mean, of him denying it.
Oh, and when he denied it, the funniest part was that he said he got it on the street. He didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
And I don't even need to finish it. You can finish it.
It's like, come on, son. You know, and, you know, to see him, you know, he's appealing now, and he gives him a chance to play. And there's a lot of individuals out there that are fans of the game of baseball who, you know, were possibly fans of A-Rod, and to see something like this come out now about him using steroids and to see him kind of just shrug it off and go out there and still be able to play. I mean, I'm sure it does anger a lot of baseball fans. I wouldn't go as far as to say I'm enjoying it because I think it's bad for the game.
It's definitely bad for the game. I'm not saying I'm enjoying how it's hurting the name of baseball. I'm enjoying how A-Rod's reputation continues to be tarnished.
Gotcha. Okay, I kind of see where you're coming from now. I mean, because from a baseball standpoint,
of sports, forever be this black mark on baseball.
Yeah,
you will never.
There's tons of other players on that list that you look at absolutely. And you're like, wow. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So just continue to see him get the beating that he deserves. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. But I really hope. So what do you guys think? I didn't get your guys' opinion on the whole instant replay now. They're implementing instant replay in baseball. I think it's long overdue. Mm-hmm. Long overdue. And I think the system that Bud Selig and the entire MLB staff has put together is really nice. You get two challenges up to the six innings, then those go away. Then you have some going from the seventh on to the end of the game. I think that's a great system.
Yeah, as long as they keep it from taking up too much time, I think it's going to be, you know, a big win for baseball. You know, getting the calls right is the most important thing, but the pace of the game is the big concern. And if they can kind of streamline it to the point where it isn't really that noticeable, I think it's a no-brainer.
And the thing about the pace is, the first couple years, people will love it. So although it will take up time, people won't even think about that at first since it's so new.
Right. It's new, and you know, it'll be a new addition to the game, so they're willing to wait and see how things turn out with it. Now, because Aaron just corrected me. It's one through the six, and then you get two from the seventh and beyond. So we have a few comments, one from Mark Adams on our Facebook page. He says, it's about time. Just got to make sure it doesn't slow down the pace of a game, as we just said. Miguel Antonio Rodriguez says, it's about time. And Spencer Ray says, I love it. So just quick and to the point. I love it. It's about time.
Yeah.
It's a hit.
It's a hit, there we go.
And it doesn't interfere with balls and strikes, which for me was my big proponent of it. I couldn't see an instant replay that takes out that human eye aspect to baseball.
Right. Now, I think they've done a great job with this. I'm very curious to see how it plays out. All right, for me, my Reflection Friday, guys.
Let's hear it, man.
Man, well, of course, you know, the Spartans, you know, Greg Kelser coming out for the current sports TV premiere. I mean, that was unbelievable. I could go on and on about that. He's such a great guy and a classy guy. And, you know, it was interesting. Larry Martin, I kind of had some deja vu because Larry used to be my econ professor, econ 202, and he's sitting here talking about sports economics. He was my econ professor back in college, which I did not do well, guys. I almost failed that class. I was bad at that. I was pledging for my fraternity at the same time. My mind was everywhere. Man, I almost bombed that class. But he's such a nice guy, a genuine guy. And, you know, to talk about sports economics and how, you know, research as far as the economics of sports goes and the research that his students did, I thought that was a very intriguing topic that this, frankly, does not get covered a lot in the world of sports. So, Larry, thanks a lot for coming out for the show. All our guests were great this week. And also on Monday or Tuesday, that was Tuesday, and we had Matt.
Yeah. I knew it.
There we go. We got to play it one more time
to end
the week.
If only eye rolls. Yep. You know, made sound. You guys could hear me. Just, oh, gosh.
So true. Yeah, that was Matt, who lost the month of July. He lost the month of July, and he had to rock the mic. He sung.
Music playing in the lockdown.
That was Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle.
Yep.
Listen for a minute. Just.
Who needs me?
Oh, man. It's beautiful.
Hormones race.
I really
hope that if I don't lose this month, that whoever does lose, we're playing it every single
every
day,
single
nonstop.
This is
escalating quickly.
This is like our fifth time playing this show.
Seems like stuff. The 500th.
My heart is saying no.
Tag my heart is saying no. All right, let me stop, man. It's going to be stuck in my head now. But all right, guys, so the weekend is upon us. It is Friday. The week just flew by, guys. So what are you guys watching? What's on the tube this weekend, man?
Week two of Breaking Bad.
There we go.
Week one last week was great. You know, they've only got 7 left, so there's no time to waste. You know, it's just going to be, you know, pedal to the metal right from the jump.
It is.
I can't wait. It's.
I can't wait either.
It's almost sad, though, because you know it's ending. The end is near, but it's going to be so great to see how it all goes down.
Mm-hmm. It is. And Breaking Bad is such it's an unbelievable show. The writing is impeccable. You know, did you guys check out, they have Talking Bad after mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. Did you guys check out that too?
I didn't check it out.
I checked it out. I have it DVR'd, and I watched it. You really get insight beyond just the show, watching that show.
Right.
And I think it's really cool. It's live too. It's pretty cool. I would definitely be tuning into Breaking Bad. I'm a huge fan. So what about you, Al?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm not a big TV series guy. But I've got to go hit the theaters. So there's a lot of new movies out.
What's out now? I don't even know what's out.
I think
out
there's
now.
That one with Wahlberg and Denzel. I think it came out like a week ago.
Yeah, Two Guns. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, so I think that's what's on the agenda for me.
That should be a good one. Anything with Denzel is a good movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to see about what happens at Bristol with NASCAR, too. I'm not going to sit through the whole race. Just going
to
be honest. Just like you
Yep, exactly. I'm definitely honest. I went home yesterday and went straight to sleep. I'm not watching a whole Lions game, a whole preseason Lions game. That's just not me.
Well, especially when they were down 17-0 and, you know,
like,
the first
that's a
quarter.
Waste of my time. I'd rather watch grass grow. Come on, man.
Yeah, they didn't even know what to say. Tom Lydon was reporting, and he was like, yeah, well, the best way to explain this one was we just aren't executing, guys. And
exactly. I mean, it's preseason.
Yep.
And any fan, you know, this happens every preseason. Any fan out there who is just down in the Lions right now, just off their performance against the Browns yesterday, come on, it's the preseason. People, my cousin called me yesterday like, oh, they're not looking good. Looks like another 5-win season. I'm like, are you serious, dude? They're playing the Browns in the second game of the NFL preseason. I don't know. I could go on and on about that. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Definitely Breaking Bad's on the agenda to watch. I was really excited from the first episode, and honestly, I've just been counting down the days to watch the second one. Matt's not going to like this. Again, I'm going to watch The Newsroom. Matt's not a big fan of that show.
No,
I really enjoy it as well. And watching more West Wing episodes on Netflix. I really love that show.
Dig that. West Wing. Now, I am a Newsroom fan as well. I'll be watching The Newsroom. I tune in every week for The Newsroom. I don't know. Something about Will McAvoy. He's a cool guy. Mm-hmm.
Different strokes for different folks, guys.
There we go. Exactly. I don't know. But, yeah, Breaking Bad, of course. And, you know, just enjoying the weekend, man. We had a very, very long week, guys. And
Let's get some R&R.
We deserve some R&R. You know what I mean? Yeah, we do. Rest and relaxation, folks. Well, I really hope that all of you listening out of there to Current Sports have a great weekend. Stay safe. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Timber Ridge Golf Pro, Max Rebner, for joining us. Hope he improves your game. Hey, have a fantastic weekend, people. Get out there and play some golf. We only got maybe a month and a half, maybe a month and some change left. Get out there and enjoy it. Enjoy the weather. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care and be easy, people.